make use of it this morning again, take time to point out some of the things that I believe that God says for fathers. But in light of that, like I said, I just appreciate the songs, appreciate the honoring of the father that has been done so far. But before I get into the message, there is one father that we need to honor with all our being. So let's stand together. I know you just sat down. Stand up, because I think God is worthy of our honor this morning as our Heavenly Father. And we're just going to stop and just come before the Father. Father, we thank you this morning that we have the privilege to call you Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you are our Father who is in heaven. And that this morning, Lord, your plan and your purpose is for your people to get to know you better. And I pray, Lord, that as we take this time to honor fathers, that we would first of all give honor and glory to you. Thank you, Father, for being our Heavenly Father, the one who leads us spiritually and guides our hearts and our thoughts and our minds, and Lord, gives us life. We're so many things, Lord, that we could stand here and we could give you honor for the things that we have, but most of all, for your Son, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die on the cross for us, that we might have eternal life and that we might be able to experience the Holy Spirit this morning. And I pray that that Spirit would move among us and speak to each one in a personal way. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Today is Father's Day. It is a day that we honor fathers, that we recognize what fathers do, and what, again, like I said, what the Bible has to speak about some of the things. On May the 9th, we celebrated Mother's Day. Today, it's Father's Day. And so I know that for some of you, my heart goes out to you, that there's mixed emotions that come with Father's Day, and there's maybe some things that you need to wrestle with today, and I'm sensitive to that, and I my heart goes out to you. I wish that it could be different for you. I believe that God has given a real clear direction to fathers, and fathers involves the whole family. So wives and children, I don't want you to fall asleep this morning, because you play an important part in this. And in Ephesians 6:1, it says this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." So if fathers are to be honored, there is it's a part of the whole family that has to work together for that to happen, for this scriptural principle to be played out. So I'm speaking to the whole family this morning as we look at fathers. And I thank God that we have here at New Covenant, we have fathers that have taken their responsibility seriously and are teaching their children, are raising their children to the honor and the glory of God. And I thank you for that this morning. You do not need to apologize for being a man. You do not need to apologize for being a father. Do your job. You are doing your job, and you're doing it good, and I want to encourage you in it to continue on. Sometimes I feel like our culture has almost positioned itself that if you're a man and a father and that, you almost have to apologize for that. Not so. God has put in position, God has laid out a plan that works. It works. And God put in that plan the responsibility of a father, the responsibility of a mother, and the responsibility of children for a home to be able to function, and for a church to be able to function, for a community to be able to function. And there's a whole lot of teaching that has to go into that. I believe that. As fathers this morning, I'm going to try not to spank you. I'm going to try to encourage you this morning, okay? Because I think there's some really clear things that the scripture has called out. And one of them is that you are to teach, that you are to teach. And that happens in many ways. But one of the, I think, and we'll get into this a little bit later, but one of those, the most effective ways that you teach is in how you live your life. Not saying that you don't need to speak and teach and open the Word of God and share it with your children, with your family, give leadership to the family. I believe that God has called you to do that. And there's no question in my mind for that, that we are teachers. As fathers, you are a teacher. It's not that you might be. You are a teacher. You are a teacher. Not that you might be. You are, okay? On Friday night, Karen and I, along about 9 o'clock, we ceased from our labors and sat on the deck, and Louis came and sat with us on the deck, and we were just sitting there talking, and Louis was laying there on his back and licking himself and scratching and all that stuff that he does when he's just at peace. Like the vibrator was going on, the motor was going that runs when he's happy. You know, I found it kind of cute. One of the first times that one of my grandsons was playing with him when he was starting to get a little bit bigger and started to purr, you know, do that cats do. He said, "Papa, why is he vibrating like that?" So anyway, we're sitting there on the deck and all of a sudden I saw him jump up and his ears went up and I looked out across the field and here there was a skunk loping across the field. Now, any normal cat would stay sitting, but not Louie. Louie has the characteristics of a dog. And he went off of the deck, out across the field after the skunk. And in panic, we are calling Louis, trying to get him to come back. And finally, when he was about 2 feet behind the skunk, he stopped. And the skunk kept on running. Okay? I thought for sure that Louis is going to be spending a lot of time outside and not close to the house. And I do not understand why that didn't happen, but other than the skunk wasn't cornered and could get away. So I don't know what happened there. But my point being, is it important to teach? Yes, it is. Is it important that we teach our children that they understand and they know that there are things of the world that look enticing, that we want to get to be part of, but when you get real close to it, it gets real messy, okay? So there's teaching that we as fathers are held responsible for within the home, and that is to teach our children there are things that you stay away from. And so I believe that's one of the things that, one of the responsibilities that God has given fathers to be that person that calls out to the family and says, hold on, that's not a good place to go. That is not a kitty, that's a stink kitty. You see, you want to stay away from that one. It's black and white, I know, but it's cute and all. Fathers are teachers, and we salute them this morning. I thank you, fathers, for taking the time. The intentional teaching that you have done, and also the unintentional teaching that you have done by living a life of integrity, living a life that honors and glorifies God, you are teaching your children. Hallelujah. Thank you, fathers. Thank you this morning. Thank you for that. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1 through 9, and you can turn there. That's where we'll spend a little bit of time this morning, and it looks as God showed the children of Israel through Moses here as we're looking at this scripture in Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 9. Prior to this, they had Moses reviewed the Ten Commandments. So in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, "Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." So in the Ten Commandments where we have this here, this command to honor your father and mother. And then as we go on, as we look at chapter 6, it says this, "Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess." Number one, that you may fear the Lord, your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, that you may multiply greatly, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So as fathers, recognizing again that the first thing that God's calling us to do is to fear God. As a father, if you live a life in fear of God, understanding that God is the one that you answer to, things will go well with you. And he's then recognizing that there is only one God. There is not a lot of gods. There is one God. So in our culture today, there is this idea that there are many ways to get to God. There is not. There is only one. That is through Jesus Christ. Through the shed blood of Jesus Christ is the only way that we can get to the Father, to our Heavenly Father. Amen? Man, there's no other way. There's no other way. Faith in Jesus Christ. And these words I command you today shall be in your heart. Sorry, backing up. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So here again is another thing that God is pointing out that is important to fathers, is that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, that your children have no question, your family has no question as to whether or not, does Dad love God? It's not a question. Because you love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, in the car, and in the kitchen, and in the living room. And it just means everywhere. You speak of your love for the Father, your fear of him, and you share with them the commandments that God has given. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write on the doorposts of your house and on your gates all the time. All the time. It's not that difficult. It's not that difficult. You say, when? Well, when do I teach? All the time. All the time you teach. And for the rest of the family, for children, for wives, helping the father is so important, because you cannot teach someone who doesn't want to be taught. And you can't teach if there is someone who's working against or trying to undermine the teaching. So it's a family project for this father to take his position and be the man of God that God wants him to be. There are so many things that we learn. My father was... He was a quiet man. He wasn't a man of a lot of words. He had a smile that went from ear to ear, but I never really heard him laugh a lot out loud, but that smile said it all. He didn't have to laugh out loud. But he was quiet. He didn't speak a lot, but there's a lot that I learned from my father. And one of the things that my father taught me, or I think I learned some of, I want more of it, but that is contentment. My father was a content man. Last Sunday, I told you that there was a time that I would have traded him in for Jimmy's father. But I think we all still have those days, those times, those places where we would say, Dad, you don't cut it anymore. I want to trade you in for another one. But God has given you, and what God has given me, is the very father that I need. He has given you the very father that you need. And that might sound painful to some of you this morning. I don't know what God's doing. I don't know what he's doing. It might sound painful to you that you actually can say that God gave me the father that he gave me and things worked out the way they did. I don't know. I don't understand that. But I look at my father and his smile and his contentment. So he was a very contentment. He worked at the same job for 60 years. He was 17 years old when he started. He was 77 when he quit at Terry Hill Concrete, same place, 60 years. Some of you are sitting here saying, no way. I didn't do that good because I'm in a couple of jobs already. So he was married to the same woman for 55 years. I don't have the exact amount of years there, but it's close, 55-some years. Lived at the same place for 53 years. He bought a farm there at Muddy Creek. Lived there for 53 years. He died there, okay? And he went to the same church for 62 years. Are you getting a picture of this man? He drove, he had, he worked full-time at a job, and he farmed 47 acres on the side. So he was putting in 50 some hours a week at Terry Hill Concrete, but he also farmed 47 acres, which is where we came in a lot of the time. But he was doing both. And what amused me as I thought about this, his contentment, I thought about, you know what? He bought a tractor. He bought two tractors. And when he quit farming, he still had those two tractors. He never had to have a newer one. He never had to have a bigger one. He never had to have a better one. And one of the things that stood out with my father is that he took care of what he had. He was always checking the oil. He was always greasing it. He had a fertilizer drill that he used from the day that he bought the year he started farming, bought a fertilizer drill. For those of you that know what a fertilizer drill is, that is a hard thing to keep, okay? But he kept that fertilizer drill because every time when he was done, he would wash it out and then he would take drain oil all over the inside and over the parts that would get rusty. He had that same, he had all of his equipment the whole time that he was farming those 53 years. He was content. He had a 1970 Chevy Impala that he drove for approximately 20 years, which is in that day, 1970. I think it was 72 that he bought it. It was 2 years old. And for a car at that time to drive it that long, it was the only one he had. He didn't have another car until some of the later years. Then he got a pickup, which he had in addition to the car. So I say all that to say, that I wish today, there's so many things that my father did that were good, that I learned from, that I was able to learn from without even a whole lot of communication. There's times, yes, I wish I could have talked more to him. I wish I could have spoke more. I wish I could have had him come to a ball game. I wish I could have had him come to a Christmas program. Didn't. But you know what? There's a lot of things that my dad did good and did right. And I'm not going to bust on him today for what he didn't do. He did the best that he could do with what he had. He did the best that he could do with who he was. And I'm asking those of you here this morning that may be tempted to bust on him because he's not doing it right. There's going to come a day it's not going to matter to you. I assure you. I wish I could sit down and ask Dad how he was so content. How he was able to live life like that. Because, I'm into, I don't know how many vehicles already. You know, I'm not that same person. I wish there's a lot that I learned, but there's a lot that I didn't. I wish I could sit down and talk to him. There's many of you that wish that you could do that with your father. Maybe there's things you wish you could say to him. Maybe you're here this morning and there's things you should have said to him and you didn't. For those of you that are here this morning and there's things you should say them, because there will come a day that you won't be able to say them. There will come a day you won't be able to thank him for going to work every day and providing for your family. Even though he may have emotionally not interacted with you in a way that was the best. Thank him for what you can thank him for. We have a privilege. God has made a design that is good, it is, and it works to his honor and glory. Are there many things that I could have said that could have been done differently with Dad? Good job, Dad. Good job. Good job. Good job to you fathers who are doing what you can do. Good job for doing what you can do. There is no question that there are fathers that have failed to fulfill the role as father, but that doesn't change the command to honor their position. And I get angry. I get angry when I hear children trashing their parents, trashing their fathers. I don't care how old they are, how old the children are. For some reason, it makes me angry. Because I know that my children, I tried to do the best that I could, and I know that there are things that my children could say about me. There is something you could say if your father was the most perfect father. Father. He's still a human being on this earth, and there are things that he didn't do right. Does he deserve to be complimented for the things that he did? Yeah. The things that he didn't have to be turned over to the Lord, have to be turned over to God. Lighten up a little bit, okay? Let's lighten up a little bit. What are fathers made of? By Paul Harvey, and I quote, "A father is a thing that is forced to endure childbirth without anesthetic." I had a friend that passed out while his wife was having a baby. And this is tough stuff for guys. It is. I mean, having babies is not for the weak men, you see. So father is the thing that is forced to endure childbirth without an anesthetic. A father is a thing that growls when it feels good. Oh, scratch a little over to the left. He's a person that laughs very loud when he's scared half to death. A father never feels entirely worthy of the worship in a child's eyes. This I'm quoting Paul Harvey. He's never quite the hero his daughter thinks, never quite the man his son believes him to be, and this worries him sometimes. So he works too hard to try to smooth out the rough places in the road for those of his own who will follow him. A father is a thing that gets very angry when the first school grades aren't as good as he thinks they should be. He scolds his son, though he knows it's the teacher's fault. Fathers are what give daughters away to other men who aren't nearly good enough so they can have grandchildren who are smarter than anybody's. My grandsons, thank you for being who you are. You're not all here this morning, my son-in-law's grandsons, son-in-laws, Sheldon, Eric, and Wendell. Thank you for who you are. Fathers. There was a commencement speaker at one of America's prominent universities that said this: there has been a basic breakdown in family and moral values in this country. It cuts across all races and classes and political ideologies. I'm tired of hearing people say, "Why don't somebody do something about it?" I'm here to tell you this morning that the responsibility lies with us men, fathers. Not to blame somebody else. Not to blame somebody else, but if these things are happening, then what is happening in your home? What is happening in my home? Am I taking the position that God has given me? Am I acting the way God has called me to act? Am I being the man that God has called me to be? It's my responsibility. It's not Dave's responsibility for how my children turn out. He was the pastor. I could blame it on him. No, it's not his problem. It's not his fault. Whose is it? Mine. And I know that there are times that we give it our all, we put our all into it, and we have given it everything that we believe that God has called us to do, and then we see our children make choices that don't honor and glorify God. And it's a burden on a man's heart, a father's heart. And I was inspired to have this message this morning. I was trying to decide, was I going to do something on Father's Day or wasn't I? And then I read the answer to Insider by AIG Answers in Genesis. Ken Ham had an article in here, and sounds like we're in competition with somebody, but that's good, that's fine. It's titled "The Myth of Equality." The myth of equality. And let me read a couple of his statements. The emphasis of the world is to try to make humans equal in many different areas. So are we all equal? What is true equality? The myth of equality. And I had to think about how that the attempt to make the father to be something that he's not, that God hasn't designed him to be, to make him to somehow our culture wants to make him to look like the dumb doofus that just walks around and just goes to work. He doesn't get a whole lot much else accomplished. Then number one, biologically, really, this is, I'm quoting Ken Ham. Biologically, the myth of equality. Really, the modern LGBTQ movement is a push to make humans equal biologically. Supposedly males can be females or females can be males. However, biologically and genetically, males and females are different. Our sex chromosomes confirm that God stated in his word, that but from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. Women bear children, men cannot. Amen. Amen. Pretty simple. Anything confusing about that? Nothing, not a thing. Very simple. It cannot be. And is there a need for men, for fathers, to get into the lives of their children young and early in life and start teaching these kinds of things? Yes, today there is. There's a day that we would have said you're stupid, that you would think that we would have to teach that this is, that men are men and women are women. We are there. We're at that day. We're there trying to say that you can be whatever you want to be. That is not true. It is not of God, it is of the devil. So do we need to teach? Yes, we need to get in early. And here we number two from Ken Ham. It says this, roles, the myth of equality in roles. The feminist movement in essence wanted men and women to have completely equal roles. Certainly there are many things that men and women can equally do, but the Bible makes it clear that God also gave men and women different roles from the beginning. For instance, consider the origin of the first woman. Then the Lord God said, "Is it not good that the man should be alone? I will make him a helper fit for him." Now in 1 Timothy 2, 12 to 13, Paul refers back to Adam being created first and Eve being deceived. He does this so that we know how to determine authority in relation to the church. God gave different roles to men and women in marriage. For instance, the father is to be the spiritual head of the house. I encourage fathers to read Psalm 78. But God's word also states that the husband and the wife are to submit to each other in the roles God ordained for them, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And there is a specific instruction for men to sacrificially pour out love on their wives. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Hallelujah. I'm glad that God made a design. I'm glad that God made a design for the family and for the church. And in number three, it says this, God gave us different gifts. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, Father, we thank you this morning that you are God, that you're a holy God, and I pray that your spirit would come. I pray that your spirit would come and would move among us here this morning, that we would be able to hear your word, that we would be able to absorb your word, and that you would be the one that would receive the honor and the glory for it. For you are God, you're above all, you're in all, and we release you to move in Jesus' name. So if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in teaching, the one who exhorts in exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does act of mercy with cheerfulness, and those the gift of teaching are warned to use the gift very responsibly. Not many of you should be teachers, my brother, for you know that we are to teach will be judged with a greater strictness. So that is some of the things that Ken Ham has pointed out as being equality, which led me this morning to spend some time just talking about fathers and the responsibility of fathers. And I believe today that God has a perfect plan. And one of the other things is that there is no question in any of our minds that God has set out to make a organization where people are safe, where they feel, where they are nourished, where their children are brought up in the honor and glory of God. Satan, on the other hand, wants to destroy that. Satan wants to destroy the home. Satan wants to destroy what God has established. There's no question in my mind. And we go to Ephesians chapter 5 where Paul talks about, he starts out with telling us how to walk in love, walk in the light, and then he talks about marriage, how that Christ and the church And he talks about marriage and how that is supposed to work out. Then he goes on into chapter 6 of Ephesians. He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So he calls out children. So first of all, he calls out the marriage relationship and how it's supposed to function. And then he calls out children, how they're supposed to function. And then he calls out fathers. You fathers, in verse 4, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. So then he goes on in verse 5, and he goes into bondservants and masters and how we're supposed to interact and how we're supposed to perform with each other in the workplace. And he gives some instruction there. And if there is any question in mind, and then he goes on into verse 10. And in verse 10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Is there any question in your mind or my mind? In my mind, there is no question that Satan has set out to destroy, first of all, our walk with God. Walking in love, walking in light. First of all, set out to destroy that. Then he set out to destroy marriage. Then he has set out to destroy children and their relationship with their parents. And then he set out to destroy the workplace, masters, bosses, and workers. And there is no doubt in our minds today that Satan has set out to destroy these things. And God said, this is how you battle that. This is how you do battle against that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How do we do it? By putting on the whole armor of God. How do we do it? By teaching our children to put on the whole armor of God, taking up the word, the sword, and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. And having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. That is your job, fathers. That is your job as the priest of the home, as the head of the home, to teach your children, to bring them to a place where they, in no doubt in their mind, know that God is the place that you go to. God is the place that you turn to. The battle is evident. And it doesn't mean that when this battle is happening, that it's a lack of faith on your part. It is evidence of faith on your part. If you are experiencing the enemy trying to destroy your relationship with the Father, trying to destroy your marriage, trying to destroy your home, trying to destroy the workplace, that's evidence of your faith. It is not an evidence of the lack of your faith. It is evidence that your faith is there and Satan wants to destroy it. And we are called, and I forgot to give you the title of the message, was the guardian of the home. The guardian of the home. So how do we do that? How do we do that? How are we the guardian of the home? How do you protect? So it brings me to the whole point of how we as fathers are guardians of the home. How do we protect? Do we do it with a gun? Do we do it by building walls? Do we do it by buying tanks or whatever it is? No, I believe that what God is calling us to as guardians of the home today is that we are the spiritual guardian of the home. You guard the home when you teach your family. He says here that you're supposed to teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk with them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand and your forehead just all the time. You are the guardian of the family when you teach, when you take your position, not turning the authority, not turning the responsibility over to your wife, or to the church, or to the school, or to the community, whoever it might be. God has given you the responsibility to teach your children. And that is a beautiful thing. It is not a dictatorship. It's a leadership. In fact, you're called, okay, we'll go on. You guard by leading your family in honoring your Heavenly Father. So you guard your family. As you teach your family to honor your Heavenly Father, you teach them, you guard them. You're the guardian when you're teaching them to honor their Heavenly Father. You guard by living a life of integrity that your family can follow. Are you living a life this morning of integrity that your family can follow you? They can pattern their life after you. They know without a shadow of a doubt that you are following God. Because I believe the biggest damage that we can do is when we say one thing, oh, You can't go there. You can't look at that. You can't do that. But then you find dad doing it himself. It destroys children. It destroys the confidence. It destroys the home. You are not the guardian. When you tell your child, when you tell your sons, men, when you tell your sons to be sexually pure and you go do something impure, don't forget, they're watching. Don't forget, they are connecting. Don't forget, they are following. They are following. You tell one thing and do another, you're not guarding. In fact, you are opening your home up, exposing your home to the enemy. Wide open. Fathers, be doers, not just people of word, but be doers of it. You guard your family by turning your family to the Word of God as the ultimate source of life. You guard by living a life of purity. When you're not doing these things, you're leaving your family unguarded. If you're not teaching, the world is. If you're not teaching, the world is. Don't forget that. If you're not honoring your Heavenly Father, neither will they. If you're not living a life of integrity, you are teaching them not good. If you are not turning to the Word of God, neither will they. If you are not living a life of purity, don't expect your children to. You are empowered by God to fulfill the call that He has placed in your life. That's what I want to leave with you this morning. You are empowered by God to fulfill the call that He has placed in your life. And there are numerous, and I was going to take time, but I'm not. There's different examples throughout Scripture of men that God used, and obviously the most important figure of a father in the Bible is our Heavenly Father. And then we have Adam being the first human being. Some of the lessons to learn from Adam is God is looking for fathers who freely choose to obey Him and submit to His love. God is looking for fathers with integrity, live in the knowledge and that nothing is hidden from God's sight. Nothing is hidden from God's sight. Instead of blaming others, godly fathers take responsibility for their own failures and shortcomings. One of the things that Adam did was blame somebody else. And as men, we can do that. We can so quickly, as fathers, in our responsibility, being called to take responsibility for what is yours. There is no greater lesson than you can teach your children and teach your family than when you get down on your knees and say, I am sorry, I was wrong. That is the greatest lesson. That is the greatest thing of humility that you can do for your family. Get down on your knees and say, I was wrong. Son, I'm sorry. Daughter, I'm sorry. I didn't respond right. I didn't act right. Those are things that will bring your children up to honor you and be able to honor you. Fear the Lord, keep His commandments, love Him with all your heart. Make it known that you are willing to teach and to honor God in everything that you say and do. Now, I'm not going to keep you long this morning, so again, thank you to you fathers who have taken responsibility and have given honor and glory to God with your families. I pray for you as families. One of the things I pray for is that you will continue, that you as fathers will be able to continue to give leadership in the day that we live in. It's challenging. There is no question. There is no question. We live in a challenging time. We live in a time where there is an all-out attack of the enemy, and I think it's getting more intense. So as you think of each other, pray for each other. If you're a father, pray for another father. Maybe there's somebody you need to come alongside of this morning and just put your hand on them, just like was mentioned about Alan and coming alongside the guy that couldn't make it up the hill. Come alongside with your bike and put your hand on his back and help him to get up the hill. For you wives this morning, maybe your husband is struggling. Maybe he's struggling getting up the hill, and he needs you to come beside him and, and put your hand on his back and help him up the hill. Maybe you as children, you realize that your father is struggling this morning. And you just need to come alongside of him and put your hand on his back and help him to get up the hill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you this morning for your goodness, for your holiness. Lord, I thank you that we are able by the indwelling of your Spirit to do what you have called us to do. I thank you for the home. I thank you for the family. I thank you for the influence that it has in the community, in the church, and in the country. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to raise up men who will be men of honor, that will be a men of integrity, who will be men who will take the position and continue to lead their families and to bring honor and glory to your name through it. Father, I pray for each one that is here this morning that might be struggling with that position. And I pray, Lord, that you would grant them the grace, the strength, and the courage to look into another day and to see that when their children, the end result is that when they have taught them and they let them go, that they will bring honor and glory to you. And if they don't, still release them to you, Lord. So, Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for fathers. Pray you bless the fathers here and anoint them in Jesus' name. Amen. If the chorister would lead us in a closing song.